Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God gave me a Ferrari because I am a Ferrari. You're a Ferrari too.
When God made you, he had all the options put on. You are fully loaded and totally equipped.
So do this with me.
Where did we ever come up with the style of preaching we have today? There is some entertaining preaching, but not convicting preaching, and the legacy has been tragic.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's go overseas, shall we?
Are you ready to go?
Same gospel, different continent. Do we change it? Do we do we make it all relative? Nope. Law to the proud, grace to the humble. Doesn't matter what zip code. The message doesn't change. Let's go to, I'm not even sure, frankly. Jimbo, where are you?
Good afternoon, Todd. Welcome to the northeast of England. We're standing on the banks of the River Tyne. We're about 50 yards from the first place that John Wesley preached in Newcastle. And we're standing outside a nightclub, would you believe? And we've got a nice young man called Robert. He's a DJ, would you believe, in one of the nightclubs down here. And he's no religious background other than the fact he was brought up broadly as a Roman Catholic. And he's ready to talk whenever you are.
Excellent. Boy, I'd love to talk to you more about where Wesley preached, but let's get at it with Robert the DJ.
Yeah, ready? Okay, Todd, here you go.
Hello, Todd.
Robert, how do you do?
Not too bad. How are you?
Robert, can I make a confession to you?
You certainly can.
The music that is played in nightclubs in Europe, I don't understand it. It's that techno electronic sound, and
yeah,
I don't get
techno,
it.
Techno electro stuff, very good.
Yeah, what am I missing? How come I don't like it?
Probably because you're not from England.
Yeah, that could be.
If you were from Newcastle, you would think it was absolutely fantastic.
That's true, isn't it? The music that you grow up on tends to be the stuff that you like just because you were raised as a child hearing it all the time.
I was grew up on like Motown-y stuff and like funk and stuff like that. So I like a bit of everything, really.
Okay, so I'm gonna try to transition this conversation into the realm of the philosophical, okay? Do you believe that that also holds true for philosophy or for religion? That it works in one culture, but it doesn't work in another culture?
I think it's right, but I've always believed it's the way people grow. It's the way you're brought up. If you're brought up around something, you obviously think it's right. But if people are brought up differently, they'll think it's not right, if you know what I'm saying. It's just the way you're being brought up.
I agree, but you know what, though? It still doesn't resolve the question, is it right? If you're talking about electronic music in a nightclub, you know, there's maybe no right or wrong. It's just a preference issue. But there are definitely things that are either true or false.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to make a statement. I happen to be a Christian, all right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to make a statement. I believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to get to heaven.
Yeah.
Now, that statement, now I could believe it simply because I'm from America and I...
Yeah.
Grew up in a Christian home, although I didn't, but nevertheless, but it still begs the question, is that statement true?
That's a very, very good question. I was brought up in a Catholic family. I've always believed if you do the right things, help people out, then you will go to heaven, whether you're Catholic, Christian, or whatever. Do you know what I'm saying?
Sure. Now, that statement is either true or false. Regardless of the fact that you grew up in a Roman Catholic home, the question is still, is that a true statement? Is that a correct worldview?
Yes, I think it is. Definitely.
Okay. All right. I want to challenge you on that statement, all right?
Come on, then.
And while I challenge you on that, I'm going to try to build my case that Jesus Christ is the only way, and brace yourself for this, Robert, the Muslims are wrong, the Buddhists are wrong, and the Hindus are wrong. You ready for this?
Yeah.
All right. You said that you get to heaven by being a good person.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to try to make the case that you are not a good person. You ready to go?
Yeah, cool.
All right. Here's the test that we're going to take. It's the Ten Commandment test.
Okay.
We're going to see if you're good by giving you a test to see if you've kept all of the commandments. How do you like that idea?
That's cool, yeah.
So, all righty. Let's start with number one. Do you remember the first commandment?
I haven't got a clue, mate. You have to refresh your memory.
All right, here we go. I am the Lord your God. You will have no other gods before me. So the God of the Bible is the only God, and he should be the primary affection of your life. Has that been true for you?
It's not true for me, no.
All right. How's about, have you always honored your mother and father?
Yes, definitely.
So you were never naughty when you were a little boy?
No, I didn't say I was never naughty. It's just it's all about learning, isn't it?
Well, that's
never,
true.
I was never naughty knowing that I was being naughty.
So they only had to tell you one time that you should do something, and after that, you always did it. Is that what you're telling me?
Oh, yeah, certainly, yeah.
Dude!
There might be a hint of a lie in there, but no.
Which brings us to another commandment. Have you ever told a lie?
Oh, yes, definitely.
All right.
Every day.
Okay, so Robert, if I told lies, you would call me a...
Liar.
Liar. Have you ever stolen anything?
I've stolen something, but not without telling somebody that I've stolen it, if you know what I mean.
Well, that's kind of you that you told them that you stole from them. So you're a thief also, is that correct?
Yes.
All right, get ready for this one. This one might just take the laughter right out of you. Here's what the Bible says. Jesus said this, "You've heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say, if you look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart."
Oh, I don't know about us.
You've never lusted after a woman?
I've lusted after a woman, but I've never done it. I've never lusted after a woman that's already taken, if you know what I mean.
Well, it doesn't make any difference if she's married or not. The idea is that God sees your thoughts.
I have committed adultery loads of times, many times.
Yeah, because you're normal. You're just like the rest of
us.
Okay, so yeah, because you're a DJ, it's probably pretty rough. So, Robert, should we take a look at the test results?
Yes. I bet you have failed. I've desperately failed.
Uh-huh. Because you've confessed that you're an idolater, that you disobeyed your parents, so you're rebellious. You're an adulterer. Yeah. You're a liar. You're a thief. Okay.
Yeah.
Robert, you said that you'd get to go to heaven if you were a good person. This is not looking good for you, young man.
I'm going straight to hell, I think.
Well, let's just be serious for a moment. Let's say that it's true and you die and God judges you. And he does know your thought life and he knows everything you've said and he knows everything you've thought and everything that you've done. What else should he do with you?
Forgive me.
Why would he do that?
Because that's what God does. He forgives people.
Why does God forgive people?
Because he's supposed to understand every situation.
He does. Our motive is kind of insignificant. If we've lied, we've lied. If we've stolen, if we've lusted, if we've blasphemed, if God is just, he must punish you, right?
Well, if that's the way it's going to be, yes.
Okay, Robert, do you remember what we had kind of a twofold task here in front of us? I said, we're going to see if you're a good person, and I'm going to prove that Jesus Christ is the only way.
Yeah.
All right. If it's true that you and every Muslim and every Buddhist and every Hindu and every person on this earth has lied and stolen and dishonored their parents and lusted and blasphemed, God should send everybody to hell. He should do that because that would be the right thing to do.
Yeah, if that's what he's got to do, he's got to do it.
All right. Now, have you ever heard John 3:16 before?
No. Okay. I know what you mean, but I don't know offhand.
Okay, here's what John 3:16 says, all right? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that's Jesus, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Here's why Jesus is the only way. God should send you to hell, but because he's kind, and to demonstrate his kindness and to demonstrate his love for you, a sinner, Jesus came to this world, died on a cross, taking the punishment that you deserve. God should thump you for your sinning, but so that he could satisfy justice and demonstrate his kindness, Jesus Christ lived a perfect life, died on a cross, took the beating you deserved so that you can be forgiven and go to heaven. And that's why Jesus Christ is the only way, because he's the only way your sins can be forgiven.
Okay,
a Buddhist can't get his sins forgiven unless he repents and puts his trust in Jesus. A Muslim can't, and you can't, unless you respond to the good news and repent. Do you know what that word means, Robert?
No, you can explain it to me if you want.
All right, it's a biblical word. It means you agree that God is right and you have been very bad. You apologize. You turn from your sins. You forsake your sins. And you put your trust in Jesus.
Yeah.
That's what repentance means. And God says if you'll do that, then he can forgive you because Jesus Christ paid your fine.
Yeah.
That's why Jesus is the only way, dude.
Oh, I think you've turned me. I think I'm going to start going to church and stuff.
Well, that's a cool thing to do, but church isn't the big issue, dude.
Okay.
This is about you and God face to face doing business.
Okay.
So here's what I challenge you to do, Robert. You got some hours left in the day, all right? In the privacy of your own heart, think about your sins. Think about all the times you lied and lusted and dishonored your parents and blasphemed God's name, shook your fist at God, and it should start to scare you when you think about what he should do for you.
Yeah.
But then think about what Jesus Christ did on the cross, and that should break your heart. And then you should call out to God, tell him how you feel, put your trust in Jesus, and don't stop talking to him until you know that he's forgiven you of your sins. That's my challenge for you, dude.
I'll definitely take it on board. I'll probably end up crying by the end of the night. You've scared me, actually.
Well, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's okay to be afraid. But let me tell you this, though, Robert. This is important. You should be afraid of going to hell, but you should turn, repent, and put your trust in Jesus because he's been so kind as to save you from hell. There's a big difference. Did you hear it?
Yeah, I heard, yeah.
All right. Hey, Robert.
Yeah.
I know a bunch of people will be praying for you.
I know.
All right.
I hope they are. I need praying for.
You need saving, so you need to pray to God, okay?
Yeah, okay.
All right. See ya, young man.
It's been lovely talking to you, Todd. Thank you.
Goodbye.
This is Wretched Radio.
Well, Geneva was married, but in her 20s, she had a one-year-old daughter at home that would interfere with her plans to go back to school, and so she was hoping she wasn't pregnant, but she was. I asked her how she felt about her pregnancy. She said, I don't want it, and my husband doesn't want it. She agreed to do an ultrasound, and she didn't want to take any pictures of the ultrasound, but she did look at it for a long time. And so we put it in a file, and then we started walking out of the clinic with her, and she turns to the nurse, and she says, do you have any referrals for medical providers? And I said, yeah, we've got a good doctor. You can go see him. Well, she went to him, and she chose life.
Ultrasounds save lives. Would you please consider supporting preborn.org, providing free ultrasounds, and presenting the gospel to moms and dads, $28 per ultrasound. How many could you support each month? Please support Preborn at preborn.org/wretched.
There are certain things people love getting for Christmas. You know, like new toys, new socks, the newest iPhone. There are things Wretched would love for Christmas, too. Gospel partners. As this year is coming to a close, would you consider becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner? You see, thanks to our gospel partners, you can find full episodes of Wretched Radio and TV at the home of all things Wretched, wretched.org, among many other resources, for free. Without our gospel partners, there simply is no Wretched. So if you enjoy watching or listening to Wretched and want to continue to do so, would you please consider becoming a Wretched gospel partner? Every dollar you give will be faithfully stewarded. In fact, right now, 83% of every dollar goes directly towards ministry work. Get the details on becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner at wretched.org/donate. Visit wretched.org/donate.
Let's go to Eastern Europe for yet another great story coming out of the Tomorrow Clubs.
Andrea was left by her mother when she was 3 months old. The Tomorrow Club director decided to pray for this girl, and she repented. She used to be a sad-looking kid. Now, seems like that smile never comes off her face.
So many kids are abandoned by parents who need to go to other countries to make a living. They donate their organs. They leave the kids. They are lost physically and spiritually, and the Tomorrow Clubs finds them. They teach them the gospel. They help them to memorize Bible verses. They even will help them with their family lives. It's a magnificent ministry, story after story coming out of Eastern Europe. $30 a month, 30 disciples. Tomorrow Clubs is the ministry. Would you please consider supporting a club of your own? TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Important dates in Christian history. 1549. Archbishop Thomas Cranmer produces the Book of Common Prayer for the Church of England. Henry VIII created the Anglican Church as a mirror of the Catholic Church, but the Book of Common Prayer helped to mold the Church of England into a Protestant church. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Jim is in England, someplace, And the people that he finds, well, let's see what we get today, because who knows? Hey, Jimbo.
Hey, Todd, how are you?
I'm very good. I'm braced. I'm ready.
Hey, well, we're back in Newcastle here. We're right in the middle of downtown Newcastle. Lots of Christmas decorations. A young man here called Mike. He's in town for a pop concert later on tonight, just sitting around, and he's happy to talk to you.
Very good. All right.
And Mike is ready to go.
All right. Let's see what
we
get.
Here we go.
Shall we?
Hello there, Todd.
Hello, Mike. How do you do?
I'm doing good, thanks.
Oh, what's the concert? Who is it? Who's playing?
Kings of Leon.
I have to confess to you, I have no idea who they are.
They're a cool band.
So how many people will be there?
Oh, no idea. Maybe about 20,000.
Oh, they're huge. All right. Let's see if I can take you down this road. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
All right. Mike, what do you think's going to happen to you after you die?
Oh, well, I'd like to think that something's going to happen, but I can't imagine it. It's a pretty morbid outlook, but it seems like nothing can happen.
So you're the thing that your soul or your spirit, you don't think that that's going to live forever?
It's kind of hard to believe. There's no like scientific proof about it, so I can't believe it.
Actually, though, we don't need scientific proof for that, do we? To know that something exists. You know, for instance, have you ever been in love?
Yeah.
Okay. There's no scientific test for love, but you know that that emotion is real, correct?
I guess it's just a feeling, yeah.
Yeah. But you know it's true, even though there's no scientific test to prove that there is love.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. So how old are you, Mike?
I'm 19.
19. You're a pretty young man. Did you grow up in a religious home?
No. I've never really had much to do with religion.
Huh. That's interesting. Tell me what you know about Christianity.
Well, it's all to do with Jesus, isn't it?
Yes.
How God sent him down, sacrificed him to save us.
Save us from what?
Ooh. I don't even know that much.
Yeah. Okay, what else do you know?
That's about as far as my knowledge goes.
All right. Well, here's the answer to the question, what was he going to save us from? And this is kind of a big one.
Okay.
We need to be saved from God.
Okay.
Yeah, and here's why. Here's the deal. The Bible, I don't know if you've ever read the Bible or not, but the Bible says that everybody dies one time, and then they get judged by God for what they've done on earth. And here's where it gets a little bit on the dicey side, Mike, is that he judges everything that we've ever said, everything we've ever done, everything we've ever thought. God knows about it.
Okay.
Yeeks. So imagine this, Mike. Let's just say we took a computer chip and we put it on the back of your ear and we recorded every thought that went through your brain for 7 days. Okay?
Yeah.
And then we took that computer chip and we went to the Kings of Leon concert where there were 20,000 people, including all of your family and friends. And we put the computer chip up onto the big screen and everybody could see your thoughts.
There might be some pretty unhappy people.
And you know who would be the most unhappy?
God.
You.
Oh, me.
Yeah, you'd be horrified, wouldn't you?
I can deal with my thoughts.
So you wouldn't be embarrassed if everybody saw your thought life?
Well, maybe some of them.
Yeah. Okay, here's one of them. You're 19 years old. Have you ever had sexual thoughts about another woman?
Yeah, every day.
All right. So mom and dad would see that.
It's pretty normal.
Well, I agree with that, but that doesn't make it any more comfortable.
I guess it would be a little uncomfortable. You're right there.
Okay, so imagine this, Mike. You died. You stand before God. Nobody else. Just you and God. The God who sees everything. He knows every time that you've looked with lust. Right?
Yes.
And he knows every time you've told a lie.
Uh-huh.
And he knows every time you've stolen something.
Uh-huh.
And he knows every time you took his name in vain. Do you know what that means?
I know what it means.
Yeah, blasphemy, where you use God's
Lord,
name. Yeah. So he knows that every single time. He knows every time that you were naughty when you were a little child.
God knows everything.
He knows everything. So, Mike, do you think that God should be happy about your performance, or do you think he should be kind of angry that you've broken his laws?
I think God might give me a disapproving look.
Yeah. If he's perfect and if he's holy and if he's good, if he's a just judge, he should be very angry at you, correct?
I would imagine so.
All right. Yeah, that's why you need to be safe from God, because the Bible says that God is going to pour his wrath out on you because you've broken his laws. See, that's what we need to be saved from.
And that's why he sent Jesus to be sacrificed.
There you go. Because he's angry at sin, but nevertheless, he still loves sinners, despite the fact that we sin all the time. He's angry. He's going to punish lawbreakers, but he will also save lawbreakers.
How would God punish lawbreakers?
Hell.
God would actually send people to hell.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh.
You don't like that idea, huh?
No. I thought God would save everybody, like a superhero.
Well, he wants to save everybody, but he can't just let criminals go free. That wouldn't be just.
So would they stay in hell forever? I'd get a sentence, much like prison.
Yeah, you'd get a sentence. Hell is forever, and the reason that it's for forever is it's not so much because our sins are so amazing in and of themselves. It's because we've sinned against God. That's our problem. Okay, Mike, it's like this. Imagine if you can that you are married and you're a good guy and you love your wife, and every morning you get up early and you make breakfast for your wife, and you bring the tray up to the bed and you set it down and you've laid out the tray with eggs just the way she likes it, with an English muffin, maybe you just call it a muffin there, and you make orange juice and coffee and everything that she loves, and she wakes up and she goes, "Oh, you eggs and muffins, and you don't do it right," and she actually yells at you for being kind.
That would be kind of ungrateful, wouldn't it?
Now let's say
I'd eat the breakfast myself.
So throughout the course of the day, all you do are kind things for her, and all she does in return is badmouth you. And more than that, she then that night goes out with the neighbor fellow and has an affair with the neighbor.
Ooh.
How you feeling?
I'm not a happy man.
All right. That's why God is upset.
Yeah.
He's created the world. He's provided food. He's provided clothing. He's provided family. He's provided nice things. He's done everything for you. And all we do in return, Mike, is all we do is complain and carp and shake our fists and have lustful thoughts, lie, steal things, dishonor our parents. And he's angry.
I don't blame him. I'd be pretty angry, too.
All right. So, Mike,
if
this little scenario that I've been laying out for you is true, let's say that there was a stampede at the concert tonight. You died. You'd be going to hell.
Oh, thank you. That fills me with lots of happy thoughts. And
I know. Have fun at the show. Bye-bye. Okay, Mike.
Yeah.
God should send you to hell, but he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to take the punishment that you deserve.
No.
That's the nicest thing that anybody has ever done for you.
It certainly is.
Hands down.
I wish he was here so I could shake his hand.
Well, I'll tell you what he says. Instead of shaking his hand, here's what he wants
Please
you do.
To do. Okay.
He wants you to repent. Do you know what that means?
No. I've heard it before, but I'm not quite 100% on the meaning.
Well, you're living your life the way that you want to, doing your own thing. You've now just understood that God is going to judge you, and you realize that you're a lawbreaker who deserves to go to hell, so you agree with God.
Well, I'm not an actual lawbreaker.
Well, sure you are.
Well, God's laws.
Yeah, that you've broken God's laws.
The commandments.
So you're a lawbreaker, you're on God's hit list. All right. But then you also agree that Jesus Christ died on a cross to take the punishment that you deserve.
Yes.
And then you apologize for your sins. And you turn from your sins and you forsake your sins. And you put your trust in Jesus Christ. You repent and trust the Savior. And then God says, your sins, your lawbreaking, Mike, was laid on Jesus Christ, and his goodness can be given to you. So that when you die, you can stand before God, not as a good guy, but as a lawbreaker who's been forgiven by a good God because Jesus paid your fine. So, Mike, here's what I'd like you to ponder before the concert tonight.
Okay.
Think about those commandments that we just went through.
Uh-huh.
And it should bum you out, at least. But Jesus Christ the God-man came to this earth to rescue you. Because despite the fact that you've been living as a lawbreaker, he loves you anyway.
That makes me feel a little better.
It, you know what? It should make you feel amazed. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. That's the good news of the gospel. So, Mike, think about your sins and think about God's amazing kindness and his love for you, and it should break your heart, and it should lead you to call out to him and say, God, please forgive me. I've blown it. I put my trust in Jesus Christ, and he will save you from your sins, and he'll save you from the wrath that is to come. There you go, dude.
Cool. I shall think about this.
Don't mean to wreck your Kings of Leon concert, but this is way big, dude. Please think about this, okay?
I promise you I will think about this.
Nice young man. I hope it wrecks his concert. I'll be real honest with you.
This is Wretched Radio.
Sometimes simple is best. The Mission Ball is simply a soccer ball covered with biblical text, a thorough law and gospel presentation, and an effective tool for drawing a crowd, making a connection with people, inviting curiosity, and ultimately creating opportunities to proclaim Christ. With your support, the Mission Ball can get into the hands of more lost and dying souls. Go to themissionball.org. That's themissionball.org.
Books of the Bible. The Gospel of Matthew is an account of the life of Christ written by one of Jesus' disciples. Matthew's Gospel shows Jesus as the promised Messiah, God's anointed King and Savior. When you hear of the kingdom of heaven, remember that there is no kingdom without a king. Only those who bow before Jesus will enter his kingdom.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Josh.
Todd.
Where are you, sir?
Mate, I am on the streets of Brisbane City in the Queen Street Mall, where we actually open air preach every Saturday night. Right now with me, I have a young man named Steve. He's 17 years old. He's just out here relaxing with his friends in the mall, and he's keen to talk to you guys.
And do we know anything about this fellow, Josh?
Well, I asked him a bit about his background, and he just looked blankly at me. So, you can work that one out.
Well, he's a teenager. We got to cut him a little slack. All right, Josh, very good. Let's have a chat with Steve. Ray, are you ready to go?
This is not going to be easy.
No worries.
Steve, thank you for coming on the program. My name's Ray.
Hi, Ray.
You know what we're asking people? We're asking people what they think happens after someone dies. What do you think happens when someone dies? Where do they go?
I reckon that you go to heaven.
Does everybody go to heaven?
Not everyone. The bad people might go to hell.
So what do you have to do to go to heaven? Just be good?
Yep, just be good. Respect God.
And what about the bad people? What do you have to do to go to hell? Is it murder? Is it rape? Would it be adultery? Is it lying or stealing? Or what would I have to do to end up in hell?
I don't know, like murder, rape.
What about adultery?
Yeah, adultery too.
What about theft?
Nah, not theft.
What about lying?
Nah, not really.
Not lying, not theft, so...
Everyone lies a bit, yeah.
So thieves and liars can make it to heaven. Okay. What about someone, Steve, who would really like to kill someone? They've got hatred in their heart, and they're just longing to kill someone, but they're scared of getting caught. Do you think they should go to heaven?
I don't believe so.
So some hatred. Someone,
I reckon that's pretty bad.
So someone who's got hatred in their heart shouldn't go to heaven. Okay, what about someone who wants to rape a woman, and he's thinking about it all the time, but he's scared he'll get caught? So someone who's thinking about rape, should he go to heaven?
He should just picture it in his mind.
Okay, you got to be careful. This is Christian radio, so be careful what you say. So you think you're going to make it to heaven?
Oh, is it a Christian radio?
Yeah. Do you think you're going to make it? Steve, do you think you're good enough to go to heaven?
I don't really know yet. We'll have to find out.
Well, let's find out. Let me ask you some questions. Have you ever told a lie?
Yes, I have.
So what do you call someone who's told a lie?
A liar.
Okay, have you ever stolen something?
Yes, I have.
So what do you call someone who steals things?
A stealer or a...
A thief?
Nah, a thief.
Yeah, huh. Now, Steve, have you ever used God's name in vain?
No.
You're not lying to me, even once?
Oh, maybe when I was little, but...
When you use God's name like that, it's called blasphemy. It's taking God's name and not showing him respect and using his name as a cuss word. It's very serious in God's sight.
Yeah.
So listen to this one.
Yeah.
Jesus said whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Maybe. I think everyone has.
Yeah,
you cannot say you haven't looked at a chick and been like, yeah, that chick's pretty hot.
Yeah, so you've done that. So have you ever hated have you ever hated someone?
I've hated people, but not that much to kill them or anything.
Yeah, but the Bible says if you hate someone, you're a murderer, because God sees your thought life. So listen to this,
but
Steve.
A murderer, a murderer is if you kill someone.
That's right. And God says if you have hatred in your heart, you are a murderer. That's how serious God sees hatred in your heart for someone. He sees it as murder. So let's just pull back a minute and see how God sees you, Steve. This is by your own admission. You're a lying, thieving, blasphemous, adulterer at heart, and you've got murder in your heart. God considers hatred to be murder. So here's the big question.
I guess I'm going to go to hell then, ain't I?
Well, let's just see. If God judges you by those Ten Commandments on the day of judgment, do you think you'll be innocent or guilty?
Guilty.
So would you therefore go to heaven or hell according to that standard?
Well, if you're guilty, obviously you'd go to hell.
Yeah, the Bible actually says that. It says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire, and no thief, no adulterer will inherit God's kingdom. So does it concern you, Steve, that if you died today as a 17-year-old and God gave you justice, you'd end up in hell for eternity? Does that concern you?
I believe it does.
I believe it does too, because you want to live. You've got a will to live. Love your life. So obviously it should concern you that God has seen your thought life and nothing is hid from the eyes of him with whom we have to give an account. So, Steve, it greatly concerns me that if you die today, you go to hell. I'd hate that to happen to my worst enemy. So do you know what God did for us so we wouldn't have to go to hell? 2,000 years ago, God did something so you could be forgiven. Do you know what it is?
Yeah, he died on the cross.
He took our punishment on himself. He was bruised for our iniquities. We broke God's law, the Ten Commandments, and Jesus paid our fine in his life's blood. Do you know the Bible verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life? The Bible says Jesus rose from the dead. He couldn't be held by death. What do you think you have to do to get everlasting life?
Well, become Buddhist.
Nope, that won't help you. Buddhists don't even believe in God.
Yeah, well, get reincarnated.
No, that won't help you, because the Bible says it's appointed a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. So let me tell you what you have to do, Steve. You've got to repent. You've got to turn from your sins. And trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You sound like you've had some sort of Christian upbringing, because you talked about respecting God.
Oh, I have. My uncle's a priest.
Well, I'm not talking about Catholicism. I'm talking about biblical Christianity. And the only way you can be saved from God's anger upon you is to repent and trust the Savior. Have you ever read the Bible, Steve?
I have.
What part have you read?
The New Testament.
Okay, so you read all of it?
Most of it. Like Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Haven't really read John.
Oh, that's great. When did you read it?
Oh, in about the second grade.
Oh, so it was some time ago?
Yeah.
Steve, I don't know. I can't see your face, and I don't know if you're taking seriously what we're talking about, but God knows the very moment you're going to die, whether you're
I'm a very serious person.
So you're really seriously listening to what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, please think about it, because God knows the moment you're going to die. We don't know if we're going to live to 20, 25, 30, 50, 80. You could die as a 17-year-old, and your eternal salvation is so important, and if you die in your sins...
Well, I don't really like talking about death, because...
Because
like,
you're fearful of it.
Kind of pretty, yeah.
But you know what?
You just want to live life till its fullest.
That's right. And you want to keep your life. You don't want to be seized by death at the end of your life, even if you die as an old man or a young man. So when you're right with God, the fear of death will leave you. When I die, and I could die before you could die before me, but when I die, of course, I don't want to leave my loved ones, but death is not fearful to me any longer. It's no longer a dark chasm that I have to jump through. So you're always going to be captive to the fear of death. It'll get greater and greater as you get older until you repent and trust the Savior. He's the only one that can save you from the fear of death and the power of death. Buddha can't do that. Muhammad can't do it. None of the religious teachers can do it. Only Jesus can forgive your sins, make you right with God, and release you from those chains of death that have you bound. So, man, think seriously about it and don't put off getting right with God because you fear death. Let the fear of death or your will to live drive you to the foot of the cross and say, God, forgive me, I'm a sinner, and truly repent. Have you had sex out of marriage, Steve?
Yeah, but a lot of people have had sex out of marriage, but as if you could wait that long. You're expecting me to get married as soon as I turn 18 because I'm that desperate.
No. I just got to tell you something real important. The Bible says fornicators, those who have had sex out of marriage, will not inherit God's kingdom. And when you've had sex out of marriage, you sinned against God, you sinned against your conscience, and you sinned against the young lady you had sex with. So that's another sin you've got to repent of and get right with God. And He'll change your heart. The Holy Spirit will come into your life and help you control those burning desires.
I've confessed my sins to God.
That won't help you. That's like confessing your crimes to a judge. What you need is repentance and faith in Jesus.
I go to church every Sunday.
Won't help you. It's like a criminal saying, I'll come to the court every Sunday. What you got to do is repent and trust Jesus alone for your salvation. You've got to be born again. That's the only way your sins can be forgiven. They'll cleave to you unless you trust alone in the blood of Jesus and you come through repentance. So I'm only telling you the gospel truth. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You've got to be born again, and I wouldn't lie to you. You don't make friends by talking bluntly like this to people, but your salvation's at stake, and a lot of people will die in their sins. They'll be deceived thinking that going to church and confessing the sins will help them. So get back into that Bible and read the Gospel of John this time and pray about what you read and think about what we've talked about. I'll never see you again, and I care about you, and we'll be praying for you, Steve. So thanks for listening to me.
Oh, thanks for that.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Have a good one.
Same to you. Bye-bye.
Ray.
Yes, sir.
If I had a choice between trying to read what Stephen is actually thinking or reading tea leaves, I'm going to have to go with the tea leaves because I have no idea what just happened there.
You know, I didn't know whether I could hear mockery in his tone. For a moment there, I felt as though he was sniggering, but he said he wasn't. So it's difficult, you know, through a studio and not looking to the person in the face because you see so much through the eyes and through the mouth and their hand gestures, et cetera, as to whether or not someone's truly listening to you.
Yeah, and even so, sometimes when you witness to somebody, don't base the success of it on their reaction.
Absolutely.
The success of it should be if you have clearly presented the law and the gospel, repentance and faith, because it's not our job to do the converting anyway. We couldn't if we wanted. Well, we want to, and we can't. It's God's job. So the success is you preach it. God is sovereign. Nighty-night. You can sleep like a baby because it's God's job to do the converting and your job to do the preaching. So do it the way that you heard it. Use the law. Talk about the cross. Talk about repentance and faith. And sometimes when you're talking to somebody who's Catholic, you need to explain the difference between confessing your sins every day and repenting, meaning to flee your sins and to be born again.
This is Wretched Radio.
Thank you for joining us today. Always appreciate when you choose to spend part of your day listening to us here at Wretched Radio. A big thanks also due for your support of Wretched and our Millennial Initiative. We're looking to reach this younger generation with a new TV show aimed directly at them. Road Trip to Truth, hosted by John Fabares, went on the road, hence the title, to college campuses, talking with this younger generation about the issues that confront them and sharing the gospel with them. This program will reach millions of millennials with the gospel of Christ. Millions. And it's only through your support that Wretched can do this. So would you consider, please, becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner? You would not only help us keep the lights on, but you'd help us reach out to this lost generation on the radio, TV, the internet, and developing new resources. Visit wretched.org/donate for details on how you can become a gospel partner. wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
What two pastors go through to bring Bibles to their parishioners in the Philippines.
Two pastors, they had to rise up 3 a.m. and walk for 2 hours. And after that, they had to ride a bangka across the river for an hour and then walk again for 3 hours just to get hold of those precious Bibles. They will return in the same way again to bring those Bibles to people whom they are ministering.
That is what they go through. What must you and I do to bring those Bibles to believers around the globe? Pick up our phones. Call Bible League International. Would you do that right now? $5 per Bible. Could you send 7 per month? Call Bible League International right now, and they will be delivered to the hands of a believer. 1-800-YES-WORD. Just giving you a chance to write that down or to call it. 1-800-YES-WORD to bring Bibles to believers through Bible League International. 1-800-YES-WORD.
Merry Christmas from your not-so-politically-correct friends here at Wretched. Did you know right now Wretched is having a Christmas sale? Well, now you do. Right now, Wretched is having a Christmas sale. That means when you visit the Wretched store, you will see that everything is 50% off when you use promo code CHRISTMAS. 50% off everything. Books, DVDs, CDs, 50% off when you use the promo code CHRISTMAS. So visit the Wretched store at wretched.org/sale. Oh, by the way, for every order of $40 or more, you'll also receive a free copy of Herman Hu. If my math is correct, that's a $24.99 value, absolutely free. So stock up on all your Christmas goodies this year and save up to 50% and get a free copy of Herman Hu. Pretty much that easy. Visit wretched.org/sale and be sure you use the promo code CHRISTMAS to get all your 50% off savings. That's wretched.org/sale.
Attributes of God. God is just. Since he is the standard of right and wrong, every judgment he makes is right and just. He rewards good and punishes evil. The good news for sinners is that the just God offers to justify you through the atoning work of Christ, so that your sins are punished on the cross and Jesus' righteous deeds are accounted to you. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, Alex!
G'day, Todd.
Hey, g'day. Where are you, sir?
I'm in my favourite part of Melbourne, Frankston. I'm in the Frankston Mall once again, my favourite hangout. And I've got a very nice young lady with me today. Her name's Simone. She's doing some charity work for kids here in the Frankston Mall. She's 21. And when asked what her religious background was, she says she used to believe in spirits, but she doesn't anymore. But when you die, your spirit lives on. And she's very, very sure that she's a very good person. And she's happy to talk to you. She's looking forward to it.
All right, let's have a chat with Simone. Nicely done, Alex.
Okay, here's Simone.
Hello.
Simone, how do you do?
Hello, how are you?
Oh, are you always this pleasant and nice sounding?
Yes.
Okay, see, I've got this philosophy about Aussies, and every Aussie that I ever meet or talk to is likable and nice. What's the deal?
I don't know. How can you not be happy when you've got beautiful sun shining and beautiful birds and beautiful scenery? It's just a beautiful place to be.
That's a fact. How do you think all those beautiful birds and that beautiful scenery got here?
I don't know. It's weird when you think about the universe actually never ends, and then you start to think, well, I don't know, it might be something more different than that. I'm not too sure.
Yeah, here's something that I have a hard time getting over. Okay, sitting in front of me right now, I've got a little clock. And there's just no way you could convince me that time and chance brought this clock together. And yet the stars and the universe and the way the orbits work and the way the planets are aligned and the way that the tides come in, not to mention the way that our bodies are so intricately designed, I just have a hard time thinking they just happen by time and chance too.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
Do you think that it would be fair for me to argue with you that the creation is proof that there is a creator?
Yeah, there'd have to be a creator long, 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 long time ago.
Okay, so then here's how I process stuff, and you tell me if you think this is fair, okay? Do you think it's reasonable to look at the creation, if we can look at the creation and conclude, okay, there's a creator, is it fair to say I can learn things about the creator by taking a look at how he created stuff?
I don't know, but do we really know everything there is to know about the creation?
Nope. No, but I mean, I'm kind of simplistic. For instance, okay, if there is a creator who created everything, whatever it is, had to be very powerful. Agreed?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh. Okay, very, very smart. Yes?
Yes, I guess I'd have to be very smart.
Okay, how's about this one? Because we human beings communicate, the creator communicates also.
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair?
I don't know. You're blowing my mind here.
Sorry. A little too deep?
Yeah, I guess it's pretty deep.
Let's try this, Simone.
Okay.
I think the creation proves there's a creator, and I think that the creator tried to communicate to us. And here's what I think. I'm going to tip my hand, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I think he communicated to us through the Bible. Have you ever read the Bible?
No.
No. Here's what I think it says, and I want to ask you what you think of this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says that everybody thinks they're a good person. Do you think you're a good person?
Well, I think I have the ability to be anything I want to be. I mean, if I choose to be good, I can be good. If I choose to be horrible, I can be that too. And I choose to live the right way, and I choose to do the right thing by everyone involved. And that is the way I choose to live my life.
Yeah. See, here's where the conflict comes in. At least according to the Bible says we think we're pretty good, but God actually has the complete opposite opinion, that we're not good at all. We're completely bad. What do you think of that idea?
I think that, you know, we choose what we want, and some people choose to be what they want to be. Others don't care to make an effort and just let things be. I mean, life is a constant battle between the mind and the body, and, you know, it makes you stronger to choose to be the right way and to be a good person.
But here's the trick, though. What is the right way? How do we know what is right or not? Have you ever heard of the Ten Commandments?
No.
The Ten Commandments are in the Bible, and the Bible says it's God's rule book for what is the right way to live.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you've heard things like, thou shalt not steal, right?
Right.
Okay. So here's a question for you. Have you ever taken something that didn't belong to you?
Definitely.
Okay. Okay, so if you've stolen something, what does that make you? What type of person takes things?
A horrible person.
No. Well, maybe, but specific. If you steal things, you are a thief. Fair enough.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely.
Okay. Have you ever told a lie?
Yes.
That's so. What would that make you?
A liar. Liar.
Pants on fire. Have you ever taken the Lord's name in vain?
Yeah, I do it all the time.
Now, don't do it now, though. Okay.
All right. I won't.
So if you've done that, the Bible says that's called blasphemy.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, check this one out. The Bible said, thou shalt not commit adultery.
Okay? Yeah.
But Jesus, you've heard of Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Jesus said, you've heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say if you just look with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. Have you ever done that, looked with lust?
Yeah, I do.
All righty. Simone, I'm keeping tally right now, and according to my notes, by your own admission, you are a lying, thieving, blasphemous, adulterer at heart. What do you think of them apples?
Well, at heart, no, that's not very good, is it?
Okay, so
at least I choose to live the right way. I choose what's right. What I believe to be the right thing to do. So I may have done that in my past, but that is something that I don't care to do, and I don't want to be that kind of a person, and I know that Simone is not that sort of a girl. I know she can be much more than that, so that's why I choose. I make my own choices as to what I want to be, and it's definitely not those things.
Right. But it's everything that we do is in the past, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so imagine this. Someday you die, and the Bible says when you die, you have to face the Creator, and He's going to judge you for every thought, every word, every deed, everything you've done. Here's a big question for you, Simone. Would you be innocent or guilty if He judged you?
Well, since I stopped doing this, I'm 21 now. Since I stopped doing those things, maybe, I don't know, 5 years ago, and I have a long life ahead of me, well, at the end of the day, the odds are on my side because most of my life I'll be doing the right thing. So if that were to happen, and even if I did die today, I'd still be proud of the choices that I've made in my life.
Okay.
I'd be proud if I closed my eyes right this second and went to sleep forever.
Okay, but let me try to reason with you, okay?
Yeah.
If a criminal stood before a judge and tried that argument, the judge would say, I don't care how long ago you did it, there's no expiration date on crime, and you may have done some nice things, but you've broken the laws.
Yeah.
So if you did die right now, even though maybe you haven't done those things for a while, would God find you innocent or guilty?
That's His choice, and I respect His choice. Even I respect his his view and his point, even if I don't agree with him.
Yeah, which is great, but the question still remains, what do you think he would say, innocent or guilty?
I don't know. It depends on what type of a man he is.
A judge, a just judge, whose rules are the Ten Commandments, you know, the lying, the stealing, the blasphemy, the adultery, the lusting. Innocent or guilty?
So does he get to look inside my soul and see every choice I've made in my life and the person that I've always been? Does he know all that?
Yeah, he does. He knows the thoughts, the intentions, the desires, the whole deal.
Okay, well, I don't know. I can't answer that question.
Yes, you can. Here, I'll make a confession. If God judged me, I'd be guilty of those things, because I've done those things. I've lied, I've stolen, I've blasphemed, I've looked with lust, all of it, probably more than you have by a lot. I would be guilty. So then the question is, if I would be guilty and you would be guilty of breaking God's laws, and here's the tough question, should God send you to heaven or to hell?
I do not know.
Well,
I can't answer that question. I really don't know.
Really?
Yeah, really. I don't know.
I do. He should send me to hell. Because I've broken his laws. I've used his name wrong. I've done the things that my conscience tells me I shouldn't do. I know for a fact he should send me to hell.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be right of him?
Well, in your position in this life, I guess that would be right for you. If you think that that's right for you, that's good for you.
But not for you.
In this life, I choose to live by what I think is the best thing to do. But at the end of the day, I love people. I love to see people smile. I love to see people look through loving eyes, and that's the only thing I really concentrate on.
And you don't think you're a bad person at all?
No, I don't think I'm a bad person.
Okay. Hey, Simone.
Yes?
Thank you very much for spending some time with us today. I appreciate it very much.
Not a problem.
Okay.
Okay.
Pass the phone back to that fellow who gave it to you. I appreciate it very much, okay?
That's okay. Hope you have a lovely day.
Thank you very much. See you.
Bye.
Bye. Until next time, go serve your king.